Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's George. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
Well, and
you can
lie.
Follow us on social media. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter, ChrisBroussard68 on Instagram. George, where can they follow you at on social media?
At George Reister everywhere. At WRIGHSTER. Easy to find, easy to respond to. And of course, the DMs are always wide open.
Also affectionately known around Fox Sports Radio as George Wrongs. We got our man. Antonio Daniel.
That is a lie. My podcast is called Reister or Wrong. Reister or Wrong.
I guarantee you, if I go into Fox Sports Radio and I say, "Where's George Wrongster?" Everybody gonna know who I'm talking about.
Nobody's gonna know. They're gonna be like,
"I have no idea who that is." That's the proof. We got Antonio Daniels, NBA champion, who's always hustling. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, you want to keep it locked for that. But, George, we've been talking NBA, but let us go to college football. Of course, you played at Oregon, as you mentioned earlier. And it was a humble brag, too. Don't think I didn't catch that. A little humble brag, but I ain't mad at you. The latest meeting of the college football playoff committee basically makes it clear, makes it evident, makes it seemingly inevitable that we are about to have a 12-team playoff. And I love it. There's two things I want to get to here. And the first is the playoff itself. I love it. 12-team playoff, I'm here for that. You play big-time college football. Sound good to you, or are you against that?
I love the playoff expanding because there needed to be more access. And also, the way that these teams are judged is not always, like, it's not equal.
It's not equal. It's, right,
right. And it's not fair because of the way schedules are set up. You have the SEC and ACC who happen to be in the playoffs every single year, pretty much. And well, the SEC every single year, but they play 8 conference games. And that's part of the reason why their teams are so highly ranked. Yes, some of them are really good, but there are also teams that get the benefit of playing 8 conference games. So that means Alabama don't play Georgia during the regular season. I don't think they have in good Lord knows how long. And so your two best teams year in and year out don't play each other. There is the other, and then they fill those games with one Power 5 team, one Group of 5 team, and usually two teams that is like a glorified scrimmage for them.
Right.
So then that then translates into if they win that non-conference game, that translates into 4 free wins. So then while other teams like the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the Big 10 are playing 9 conference games, they actually get a game that they could possibly lose. And sometimes they do while the SEC teams and the ACC teams are playing nobodies. So, and that does impact who gets in the playoffs. So that's the first thing. So I am in favor of expansion. There are 5 Power 5 conferences. They're all 5 Power 5 champions need to get in. And then there's the idea that the Group of 5
the
should
group
be in.
Of so, 5, right.
Yeah, so those 6
this
should
will
be automatic.
The Cincinnati's and yes. teams like that.
Cincinnati, Memphis, to, Boise yes. State.
Because you remember years ago when Boise State beat Oklahoma in the bowl game.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, so let this gives them a what was it? Who was it a few years ago? Central Florida?
Yep.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah. So let's UCF. Give them a chance to play with the big boys.
Correct.
And see what they can do. That's why I like it.
Yeah, and but the only Chris, though, while I do like it, the thing I hate is the number 12. I think the number 8 is the optimal number because you get the 5 Power 5 conference champions, the highest ranked group of 5 champion, and then you still
that's
get
six.
Two. Yeah, and then you get 2 at-large bids. The thing I don't.
Look, I wouldn't have minded 8 because I've said actually for years 8 would be good. But I'm not mad at 12. Heck, to be honest, I mean, I'm fine with 12. But see, I was looking at FCS
that gets a
where
buy.
they play. They got 24.
Yeah. See,
and they have a playoff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, shoot, 12 is not too many.
See, the only thing I don't like, I would rather 16 than 12. The only reason is because we're playing football. And football breeds injuries. And the more time that you have to prepare for a team.
Right.
Yeah, that means that the four teams that are going to get byes are going to be in a more advantageous position against the teams that played the week before. So then now it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
But they're doing that on purpose.
Yes.
I hear you. I wouldn't have minded 16, but they're doing that. They're trying to give those conference champions from the best conferences a little advantage.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Give them a little boost.
Which I don't like because if you're going to have a true tournament, then, like, you are making sure that there are no upsets.
The NFL gives you a bye.
Yeah, but they also put 14 teams into the playoffs, too. And so, and the NFL only gives one team a bye. One team. As opposed to.
Still, the principle of it. But here, I'm glad you brought up the number of games because the one thing I don't like about this, and they're saying that some, you know, it's become kind of a topic of conversation, and some of the presidents from the schools are wondering what up they like under their current format with the 12-team playoff. You could play as many as 17 games in a season if you go to the championship game. And I'm going to say this, George. There is no way under God's green earth that college kids should be playing a 17-game football season. I don't think the pros should be doing it. All this talk about concussions and CTE and injuries and all of that. And certainly you don't want a star player being injured for the playoffs in football. And yet the owners want to actually add a game? Don't tell me you care about safety. Don't tell me you care about their health when you want them to play 17 games. That is just another chance for a player to get injured. So let me get that off my chest. And so there definitely is no reason for college kids to play 17, at least the pros are being paid. The college kids are not being paid yet. And they're going to go, their goal is to get to the NFL. And now you want to put more wear and tear on their body? So I'm saying this, George, if you institute the playoff, then you got to cut the regular season. Cut out two of the chumps that you play in the beginning of the season. Two of the scrimmages. You can have a scrimmage like we used to have in high school. You know that, where you go meet up with another school and you scrimmage, but it doesn't count. But you don't have to play Appalachian State or whoever else you might beat up on in your first 2 weeks of the season. But I think the maximum games that a team should be playing is 14. If you get to the championship, it'll be your 14th game of the season. So if you have to cut the regular season to 10, 11 games, whatever, do it. But do not have these kids playing 17 games. That's ridiculous.
You are 100% right about that. And in the NFL, just to address that issue, I said it from jump that the NFL Players Association messed up when they agreed to 17 games and didn't either get one of the two most important things that they needed to get, which is number one, an additional bye week, because it's already tough enough for guys to make it through the season through 16 games right. with one bye week. But to add another game, and then there was, and then in college, well, I sorry, and then in the NFL, the other thing that they could have traded off is an additional year or two of healthcare on the back end, because every game you play takes years either off your life or your health, your knees, your back, whatever it is. And right now, players only have healthcare for 5 years after they finish playing in the NFL. And then that's when your body tends to break down after right. that time or at the very tail end of that. So in college, it's even worse. And that's why it's so important with name, image, and likeness for them to get healthcare on the back end of their career, because 17 games for college is absolutely ludicrous. It's insane. It makes no sense. And it only perpetuates like the disparity, which is in college athletics. You have athletic directors, head coaches making millions, and assistants making hundreds of thousands, which adds up to millions. While the players can't even trade on their name, image, and likeness, and I know it's coming, but this has been far too long. And no, now the actual answer, Chris, you are right. Cut down the regular season, play 8 conference games, plus the 8 conference games, plus 3 non-conference games, and then you have a 12th game that you add as a flex game, right? And that's in lieu of the, and one of those games for the teams is the conference championship. So now you get that additional game if you want to go there. But then teams that go to, and then teams can either play their bowl game, don't play their bowl game, whatever it is. So the maximum amount of games a regular team can play is 13. And then you add in, and then the maximum amount of games they have to figure it out with the playoff should be.
No, it shouldn't be 14.
Yeah, it should be 2-3 games at the absolute max. But then I agree with you, then cut down the regular season. But the only issue with that, though, Chris, is that it's only a couple teams that will ultimately have that issue that will be playing right. those additional games.
But so if the regular season for everyone, let's say, is 11, and then if you get to a bowl game, you play 12. I mean, that's fine. You know what I mean? That's enough. That's plenty of games. So that's where I'm at on this issue. Quickly, because you brought up name, image, and likeness, and I like that. I think, you know, look, college athletes getting paid, I'm all for it. Obviously, it's tough to figure out how it should be done. But, George, this is where I think name, image, likeness is a great place to start, because then the kids that, you know, can get that type of endorsement are going to get it. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. When I talk about paying college athletes, I'm talking about football and basketball players.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about lacrosse, wrestling, track and field, baseball, softball, none of that. I'm talking about the sports that generate all the money, because that's the issue. That is the issue, and people can – I know they have Title IX and they have all these other things to try to make it where you get the same. No, and it's not, well, we work just as hard as the football players. That's not the issue. The WNBA players work just as hard as the NBA players. Do they get paid as much? No, because the sport doesn't generate that much money. It's all based on what the sport generates.
Well, the only thing that you're missing in this, Chris, with the name, image, and likeness, the schools aren't even going to be paying the players. It's
no,
the
I know.
Players
that's why
just
I'm
being
saying,
able
I think
to
that's
generate
a,
their own money.
That's why I'm saying that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Because the schools are going to have to contend with, okay, do we just pay the football, the basketball team? Do we just pay the starters? I mean, all that has to come into play. Name, image, likeness, just moves past all of that. And if I'm the star of the basketball team, then I'm going to get some big endorsements. if I'm the 14th man or the 9th man and nobody knows who I am, I'm not. And that's fine. That's how it's, that's capitalism. That's all it, that's what I'm saying. So I think that's fair. If I'm a gymnast and I'm nobody, you know, really following me, then I shouldn't be making as much as, you know, the All-American who's going to be the third pick in the NBA draft. So that's where I am on it. But we're going to throw it out to you guys. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Are you on board with the expanded 12-team college football playoff? And what do you think about a potential 17 games? George and I are vehemently against it. We believe no more than 14 for these college kids. What are your thoughts? 877-99 on Fox. iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it's the iCouple. Chris Broussard, George Reister is in for Rob Parker. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're also brought to you by AutoZone. Now, AutoZone's got more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast, because some jobs just can't wait. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup and free next-day delivery on more than 100,000 parts. I'm telling you, it's great. So visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Also, this is a Trash Talking Tuesday. So all of you out there in Radio Land will be able to trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. You'll get your chance in the third hour of the show, about 6:35-ish Pacific, 9:35-ish Eastern, and you know the times in between. So you'll be able to call in. You get about 30 to 40 seconds, so get your takes ready to trash anyone, George Reister, or anything in the world of sports. All right, 877-99 on Fox. We want your thoughts on the 12-team playoff and potentially playing 17 games in college football.
First guy, Mr. Tim in Sioux City. Welcome to the Odd Couple. Thomas in Sioux City.
Thomas.
Hey, man, how's it going?
We are good, man. How are you?
Doing good. I'm all for the 12-team playoff. You know, we're fans. We want to see more games, more football. What they should do for the college end is add the roster depth, add more linemen so those starters can take a day off, a game off here and there.
Yeah, but you don't want that. You want to see more football, but you want to see the best players.
Yeah. What about North Dakota State? Is someone going to get them in the conference? Because they can easily make that playoff.
Well, how good that program is. Are they FCS? They're the lower level.
They might get an invite. Yep. They might get an invite from the Big 12 or somewhere.
No, there is no chance.
If they're ready to step up to the big leagues. I mean, as simple as that.
And here's the truth about North Dakota State. They are a fabulous team, especially in one game. But there is a difference in between playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fair to put them in. And you said it. In one game, anything could happen.
Yeah.
And so what if they did? Let's say they're the best team. I always say Division I AA because I mix up the FCS, FBS. They're FCS or FBS.
They're FCS.
If they are the best team in that at that level, and then you throw them in the playoff, and they do upset, say, the, you know, seventh ranked team in the country or whatever, people are going to be going crazy. No, you just said it. It's a one game thing. Make them play against an SEC, ACC, Big Ten schedule. It'll be a whole different ball game. So I told you, you can, if y'all want to get into it, then move up. Move up to FBS.
100%. Tim in Nashville, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Listen, I've been listening to the show. Great job today. But I want to talk a little bit about name, image, and likeness payments. All four paying the players. They need to be paid, but I think they need to be paid kind of across the board, a level amount. It's not going to
so
be
like
the top
all the,
one
all
or
the
two
athletes,
or three.
All the sports?
All the athletes, all the sports. Let's split it up and pay everybody some, guys. I think the law is going to make you do that. Title IX will hang you otherwise. But here's the point I want to make. Is this not going to be the top four or five or six or ten guy? I mean, down south, every little car dealership is going to adopt a player.
Right.
Every funeral home is going to adopt a player. Everybody's going to be paid, and there'll be Katie bar the door. Everybody's going to get paid. They'll start getting paid as recruits. I mean, Julio Jones down in Alabama, every football fan knew who he was as a junior in high school. He could have been paid as a junior in high school. Name, image, and likeness.
No, I agree with you, right, in that, like, they're going to do, you know, some dealerships or stores will do team deals, right? And they'll just pay everybody, and you'll send over different players at different times to do whatever you need them to do. I agree with you on that, but I don't agree that everybody should be paid. I think it should be the really football and basketball.
Well, Chris, see, here is where sometimes...
Unless you earn it. If I'm a golfer and people want to pay me, then great.
Yeah.
They should get paid.
That's where I think that sometimes people
get... That's why I like name, image, likeness.
That, Chris, that's where sometimes I think people get lost in the name, image, and likeness talk, because they talk about where even you just said where the basketball and football players should be paid because they are the revenue generating sports. The thing specifically with name, image, and likeness, it levels the playing field for every single player, because it's not necessarily like just because the star quarterback is the star quarterback. Yes, there are going to be some endorsements that come with that. But then there's also, like, we know guys in the NBA, team, NFL, college, that they aren't the best players on the team, but they may be the most popular or the most engaging. Look at Draymond Green on the Warriors. He's not the first best player on the team, that's Steph, and he's not Clay. He's further down the totem pole. But when you put him on television or you put him on a podcast, he's very engaging. So you're going to have opportunities for other people to make money, whether it's in podcasting, whether it's YouTubing, painting, drawing.
Social media and all that.
Yeah.
We have opportunities. And as you said, like, there's going to be a lot of team deals. You know what I mean? Where...
Yep.
Everybody's getting, you know, a car dealership wants to sponsor the whole lacrosse team. So everybody gets this much, this amount. So there'll be a lot of that stuff. So everybody or a lot of people will get a share. But I do think it should be, you know, name it. That's why I like name, image, likeness, because it does level things. All right, we got Antonio Daniels coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's an NBA champion. He's a Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. He covers games for the New Orleans Pelicans. Our man, every day's hustling, the tireless Antonio Daniels.
He's the daddy.
What's up, brother?
Chris Broussard, George, how you guys doing?
We are good, man. We are good. I know, see,
yes,
when I
sir.
Give you that type of introduction, I know you feel like ripping off your sweats and throwing up some jumpers, huh?
we'll circle back to that one, but not really. But I appreciate the intro. But I do appreciate the intro, though.
All right, let's get, look, there's a lot to get into. Let's start. We got the draft lottery coming up. So let's start with that. Golden State has the Minnesota Timberwolves pick. Top three protected, but, hey, could be number four, five, whatever. Do you think that, let's say they get the fourth or fifth pick, should they look to package that or trade it to another team, maybe with one of their current players, to bring in another star so they can try to win a championship next year with Steph playing at such a high level? Or should they keep the pick and build up, you know, some more young talent?
You know, the big question that you ask yourself, Chris, is who's that other star? Who's that other guy? Like, if you can give me a star and give me an example and say you can package this up and bring in this guy, then I think it's easier. But I think it's really easy to say package up and get a star when we don't know who that star is that's available and out there.
How about the fourth pick, Golden State's own pick, which would be in the lottery, and maybe Andrew Wiggins for Bradley Beal?
What?
That's a lot.
Oof.
I like Wiggins. I'd love to keep him, but to get Bradley Beal?
Here's my thing, Chris. If it puts you closer to a championship, I think you do it.
Right.
If you feel as an organization, because we take for granted how difficult winning a championship is. You know what I mean? Like, there's teams that may win a championship. Like, Dallas, they won that championship, and they let everybody walk after that, and they haven't been back since. Like, it's difficult to do. And I know Golden State had a great five-year run. If you see an opportunity, obviously, how Klay Thompson returns back is important. The health, he had two of the worst athletic injuries you can have, with an Achilles and also an ACL, back-to-back years. So how he returns is important, but I feel like if you're Golden State or any other team that feels like you are one piece away, if you have an opportunity to acquire that piece, you do it.
And Antonio, what do you think about teams that mortgage their future, you know, where you have the Clippers where they don't have control of their first round draft pick till 2027 or 2028, Brooklyn Nets in the same situation where, you know, where you're trying to win now, but if you don't win now, was it even worth it?
Well, I think that's a risk you have to take, because I think in both situations, if you go back at that time, George, and you look at it, I don't think you would. Like, if you told me at that time I had an opportunity to acquire Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and I wouldn't have a draft pick for the next 4 years, 3 or 4 years or so, you know what? Maybe that's a chance I'm willing to take. I've never been to the Western Conference Finals if I'm the Clippers. That's a chance I'm willing to take. If I have a chance to acquire Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden all on the same team, if that means I have to give up a few years of first-round draft picks, that's a chance I'm willing to take, because it puts you closer to an NBA championship.
Right. They might be in the finals this year for all we know. So
exactly.
Where are you at on the Ben Simmons situation?
Oh,
is
man.
It time to trade him?
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Yes. I said on our SiriusXM show, before this year started, if the Philadelphia 76ers don't reach the finals, one of those two, you got to move. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't think you can find two stars in today's NBA whose skill sets don't complement each other like those two don't.
Wow.
Like everybody else. Like Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo, their skill sets, they complement each other. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, their skill sets complement each other. Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, you can go down the line. But when you look at what Ben Simmons does well and what Joel Embiid does well, they don't fit. Joel Embiid needs space because he's so dominant, which means he needs someone that's going to stretch the floor for him. Ben Simmons can't do that. Ben Simmons needs someone that is going to run and push the pace with him. Joel Embiid is not going to do that. So with all due respect, both of these guys are killer talents, but I just don't think their skill sets complement each other. I think it's one thing to say, well, you have two stars on the same team. That sounds great. But how do your stars fit? I don't feel like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid fit together.
Well, we know which one you're trading.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, Ben.
For sure.
See, and Antonio, I'm sitting here wondering, is that – so there, you've had everybody screaming, trade Ben Simmons, trade him, you got to get him out. And I'm like, everybody else just watched him melt down mentally and not have the skill set needed. Like, he's a guy who clogs the paint because he can't shoot. But I'm sitting here like, doesn't it seem like the better scenario is to rehab Ben Simmons the way then you can get maximum trade value? or you rehab him in terms of his game, if he's willing to work and fix his shot and rehab his mentals, or you rehab him for yourself.
So here's the question that I'll ask you, George. How long have we been saying that?
5 years.
Yep.
Right. That's my issue. This would be different if this was the first time we had this conversation. We have revisited this conversation now for 3, 4, and like Chris just said, 5 straight years. So what we're doing is we're asking someone to rehab their mental aspect. Why hasn't that happened to this point? We're asking someone to work on his game and improve his offensive skill set. Why has that not happened yet? So I think it's a risk that you're taking, and when you're having repeated conversations about individuals, when you're talking about basketball or football or any professional sport, that's a problem. When you're having the same conversation year after year, well, you know what? If he learns how to shoot by next year, and then if he learns how to shoot next year, and then next year if he gets his mental right, and then next year if he gets his mental right, it comes a point where you're like, listen, this is going to become someone else's problem.
All right, so we got to ask you about New Orleans. Look, I obviously Stan had his issues down there. I was surprised, though, they got rid of him after just 1 year. Was it that bad? It was just no choice? And what did you see going on? Like, what led to this?
Was it that bad? I don't know, because I wasn't there every day. I know what I saw from a distance. I know what I also heard, and I know what I heard David Griffin talk about. In today's NBA, there's nothing more important than relating to these players. There's nothing more important. And you can tell guys to try and get guys to buy in. If you don't have that relational continuity with those guys, that's tough. As a coach, when Stan Van Gundy took that job, one of the things that I discussed, for him to be successful, he's going to have to evolve. The game has changed. The generations have changed. The players have changed. This is a player-empowered NBA. I'm not saying that you have to do everything that the players think, but I'll tell you what, there has to be a relational connection between you and the stars. It has to be there. Because they have so much, I don't want to say power, they have a lot of control on what goes on as far as how they want to proceed moving forward. And again, I am not in favor of players making all the decisions and so on and so forth. What I know about the Pelicans, and this is a great group of young guys. It's a great group of young men. Brandon Ingram, great dude. Zion, great dude. These are fantastic dudes. You have to find a way to relate to them on their level to get the best out of them.
Do you think, and quickly, we got about a minute, do you think that whoever they bring in as coach, like their skill sets for the players match? I mean, obviously you got, if Zion's going to be handling the ball more, is Lonzo, is that a good situation for him? Ingram's not a spot-up shooter by any stretch. Like, do you think the skill sets match and it's just a matter of getting the right coach? Or are they going to have to make some moves as well?
See, here's the thing. We don't know what that next coach is going to do with Zion. That was Stan Van Gundy's point, Zion vision. That was his vision.
Do you like that vision?
To a certain degree, yes. Like, allowing him sometimes to initiate the offense, I do like it. I do, because of his skill set. Because of his power, because of his ability to handle that ball, and his vision. But point Zion is different when you do it all the time.
Right.
So whoever's coming in, whoever that next coach is that's coming in, we don't know what their offensive philosophy is. You know, maybe they do play Zion as a 4. Maybe they play him as a 3. Like, coming into last year, we had no idea that Stan Van Gundy was going to play Zion at the point. So when you hire a new coach, you are completely starting over from top to bottom.
All right. That's our man Antonio Daniels with the knowledge as always, man. We appreciate it.
for sure. Hey, I got to apologize to you guys for my throat. I am in the middle of my basketball camp, in the week of my basketball camp. So all week, all I'm doing is yelling. And so, excuse me, forgive me for my throat.
Nah, my no voice. Problem, man. We appreciate it. All right, brother. We'll see you next week. All right, more of the Odd Couple coming your way. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, George Reister is in for Rob Parker. And we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, George, interesting story today. George Kittle, Travis Kelce, they're putting together a tight end university. And they've invited some of the, you know, tight ends throughout the league. They said they thought they'd get 20 to 25. Looks like they've instead gotten 45 or 50 guys. One of them, though, is not Tim Tebow, which I understand, and I think George Kittle gave a great explanation. Hey, we can't invite all the second and third stringers we'd like to. How can we invite a guy who, you know, hadn't played the position ever or in decades or whatever? So I think it was a good explanation. But I want to ask you, as a guy that played tight end in the NFL, are you insulted by Tebow getting this opportunity? Do you think he can do it well? Do you think he doesn't have the skills to do it? It's a lot harder than he or other people think. Like, what's your take on this whole thing?
I think that this was nepotism by Urban Meyer. He looks at Tim Tebow like a son, and that's the way he treated him. You know, he got him the internship at the company, you know, giving him an opportunity to, you know, be a corporate executive. That's the situation that we're looking at. But Tim Tebow, he's going to be 34 this season, I believe, 34 years old. Like, if you are Urban Meyer and you're looking to build a team, like, what can Tim Tebow really offer you at his age? Because it's not a future, because, like, he's already a dinosaur in football years, already a dinosaur. And we're not talking about a guy who was a physical freak. Like, we're not talking about a Vernon Davis where he ran 4.3 at the combine. No, we're talking about a guy who is, compared to other NFL tight ends, average athleticism. Like, not special in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So to coach him up and get him ready, considering what it took to get Antonio Gates ready, and Jimmy Graham, who were phenomenal athletes. You're just like, okay, so let's say best case scenario, you get a year or two out of him. Like, was this worth it? And like, so I do believe he's probably going to make the team, because otherwise they wouldn't have even given him an opportunity. And then they're selling his jersey in the NFL store. Like, that would feel like a grift against the fans if he's not going to make the actual team. So I don't like it.
Is it presumptuous to even assume he's going to be able to catch consistently?
Yes.
Catch NFL passes, you know, I mean,
it's very presumptuous.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to be catching it in traffic. You're going to be catching it and about to be getting thumped. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, people are going to be hitting you around you. It is a totally different skill set. And, like, just the opportunity is absurd considering his age. Have we seen other people change positions, even like a Logan Thomas in Washington? Yes. But that guy, he did it when he was younger, as opposed to an old man who doesn't have very many years to give you additional value.
Nah, I'm with you. Look, I would have been more offended had he gotten a chance to play quarterback again. we know he can't play quarterback. But will he be on special teams? I mean, like you said, is he too old for that? I don't like the idea of him doing gimmick plays, you know, for Trevor Lawrence. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I don't want any part of that. I'm the quarterback. all four downs, all three downs, whatever it is that we were, you know, I'm the guy. I don't want anybody coming in for me doing gimmick plays. Drew Brees was 40. He didn't mind it at that age. But, look, Tim, great guy. I don't mind him getting the chance, but I think it's a lot to ask for him to do it. An hour left. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.